This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Beep. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Steve Jones Show. I'm Todd Hummel. Steve is, of course, at quarterback club for this first half hour as the Penn State Nittany Lions prepare to play Wisconsin this Saturday at Camp Randall. Kickoff is at 7:30 on Eagle 107.3. Steve and Jack in the pregame show will be on the air at 6. Let's see. Locally, Friday night, high school football. Selins Grove travels to Danville. That game will be on Eagle 107. Pregame at 6 o'clock. Kickoff for that one is 7 o'clock. These other two games, pregame 6:30. Lewisburg should be a fun one. They host Mifflinburg in the Little Brown Jug game. That will be on 100.9 The Valley. And, of course, here on 1070 AM, the Shikellamy Braves with Steve Williams and the Chief Dave Ritchie head out to Catawissa to face Southern Columbia. Bucknell will also appear on 1070 this weekend. They will travel to Washington, D.C. and face Georgetown. Kickoff for that game is at 2 o'clock. Doug Birdsong and Charlie Fisher on the air at 1:30. On today's show, Matt LaPay of the Wisconsin Voice. Let's start over. Matt LaPay in the next segment at 1:35, the voice of Wisconsin football, will join Steve to talk a little bit about Saturday's game, and I am sure we will get into a little bit about Fernando Valenzuela, I'm sure, in the second hour when we have a little more time to talk. That was a bummer that came across the wire last night when I was at work about 11 o'clock at night. I had seen that he had stepped away from his job as the Spanish language announcer for the Dodgers, I think maybe early September, and turns out that there's a good reason for that. Fernando Valenzuela passed away last night. I don't know. I've mentioned a couple times before. I'm 49, and that's one of my first major memories as a sports fan is Fernando Mania in 1981. And you know, baseball's not in that zeitgeist anymore, but that really gripped the country that summer. And you know, that was also the last time. Maybe it is kind of fitting that he passed away this week, just because of the, you know, the start of the World Series. You know, begins Friday, and you know, the last time the Yankees and the Dodgers met in the World Series was also 1981. Bob Nightingale will join us tomorrow at 2:05 to discuss Fernando Valenzuela and the upcoming World Series. Of course, tomorrow is also our high school football roundtable. We'll see how that goes. I got to get a hold of Greg. I was thinking today on the way up. Tomorrow is District 4 cross country at Bloomsburg University. And of course, Greg is now the acting athletic director at Lewisburg, and his granddaughter will be one of the favorites in the Class 2A race up at Bloomsburg tomorrow. Bailey Espinoza of Lewisburg. Danville Girls is probably the favorite in the team race. Lewisburg Boys, led by Jonathan Hess, is probably the favorite in the boys' race. But, of course, look out. Ben Hummel from Midwest has done a great job on the boys' side of things, challenging the upper echelon of runners, of the Lewisburg runners. So, you know, he has a good shot tomorrow as well. We'll see how that goes in cross country. I wanted to get in a little bit. You know, we'll talk about the three local high school football games tomorrow in the high school football roundtable. But, of course, the big game this week is the Coal Bucket out at the Silver Bowl, where Shamokin at 9-0 is going to take on Mount Carmel at 7-2. Shamokin looking for their first victory in the Coal Bucket since 1995 and looking for their first undefeated season since 1991. Oh, man. I've been doing this a long time, but I didn't realize this when I was doing a little research that I covered the 1996 game, the first game in this streak. I didn't realize I had covered that one, but you know, I looking around yesterday, and it was mentioned they want. I think there's going to be a giant crowd there at the Silver Bowl on Friday night. Mount Carmel and Shamokin are asking to get your tickets beforehand to assure yourselves a seat. Not sure how much room there's going to be for walk-up sales on Friday night. I think the Silver Bowl seats almost 7,200. Don't know how many people from Mount Carmel are going to be sitting up on the hill watching the game, but should be a giant crowd. Should be a fun one. The series began in 1908, and this has been played continuously since 1934, except for 2020, where the game was canceled by COVID. Mount Carmel, it's the 73rd Cold Bucket since 1951. Also saw that somebody from that 1951 football game is going to accompany the players out for the coin flip before the game. So I think the biggest success is somebody that was 17 or 18 in 1951 is still kicking these days. That might be the biggest congratulations for the man. So, you know, again, and it's a 27-game winning streak for Mount Carmel. Should be a fun one. I don't know how much it'll play a role. It's one of those things in the overall scheme of things, you know, football-wise, district-wise, league-wise, it doesn't mean anything, but... You know, I've had several people say to me that this, you know, Shamokin's 9-0 going into this game, and nobody's going to remember those 9 wins at all if they don't win. If they don't win this one on Friday night, and I think that's going to be the bigger problem for both teams is the pressure. You know, Shamokin's looking to break that streak, finish an undefeated season for the first time since 1991, and then Mount Carmel's facing the pressure. You sure as heck don't want to be the team that ends up being the team that had that 27-game winning streak snapped. It's kind of like it's along the lines of the pressure on the Southern kids to keep that streak, the 7th straight state title streak, alive this year. So we'll see how both teams handle that, handle the crowd. I fully believe that this game will be within one score, so it should be a fun one, but it's certainly not the only big game. You know, Lewisburg and Mifflinburg certainly has some ramifications. I think Lewisburg probably, you know, I think if both Lewisburg and Mount Carmel would happen to lose, I think Lewisburg still hangs on to that second seed, and that's going to be pretty important in 3A, because as it's looking right now, the top two seeds in District 4, Class A, will probably get a bye, and that's looking like it's going to end up being Muncie and Lime Mountain, and then in Class 3A, it looks like Danville and either Lewisburg or Mount Carmel will end up with a bye as well. We're looking at an interesting first round of districts next week, just from the perspective of, you know, our 4-5 game in AA is looking more and more like it's going to be, you know, Southern Columbia and Warrior Run, and then the 3A games are Milton and Mount Carmel, which was a 48-28 game last week and a fairly entertaining game, and Mifflinburg-Montoursville, a game that when Mifflinburg was 0-5 earlier this season was one of those one-score losses that that Mifflinburg had led in the second half at one point. So certainly some games to look forward to next week. Some of the other games in the area, Milton is traveling to Warrior Run. That's another rivalry game, another one you can kind of throw the records out. Warrior Run is looking to stay hot or stay good. How's that? They dropped two tough games in a row. Bounced back last week with a big win over Central Columbia and should be favored against Milton this week, but can't count out the Black Panthers in a game like this. And Monty Fisher has been as good as anybody on the outside. Now second in the area in receiving yards, six or seven receiving touchdowns. Milton's kind of remade itself over the last couple weeks and kind of gone away from what's been their bread and butter lately, which is a running game, and gone more to, you know, throwing the ball. Isaiah Minium is healthy. He was up over – he threw three touchdowns last week – or no, threw three touchdowns against Midwest, and then the passing game set up some short touchdown runs last week for the Black Panthers against Mount Carmel. Lime Mountain looking to keep its home spot in the District 4 Class A playoffs. They will host Susquehanna. The Blackhawks have perennially given Lime Mountain trouble at times, but this is not a Susquehanna team that's going to be able to pull that off. Lime Mountain should win this one. And, you know, maybe another interesting game for a different reason. Midwest is heading up to Wilkes-Barre to play Holy Redeemer, and both teams are 0-9. And, you know, I looking at it, the Mustangs have definitely played a tougher schedule than Holy Redeemer has. And, you know, from all I hear from out that way and from guys that have covered them, you know, Midwest may be getting blown out in these games, but they never quit, and they're still trying their hardest. They're buying into what first-year coach Jeff Chinovich is kind of trying to teach them. And, you know, this is their best chance to get a victory up in Wilkes-Barre, and that would be an impressive way for them to go into the off season. They haven't won a game since 2022, the second week of 2022. So it'd be nice to get that monkey off their backs and get themselves back into the winning column. It's also a big week for high school sports in the area with soccer kicking off. I didn't even mean that pun, and I guess it works both ways, huh? But the soccer playoffs kicking off in District 4. Some teams are already through to Saturday's quarterfinals. Warrior Run boys and Milton boys won last night to advance. Warrior Run girls face Bloomsburg at 8 o'clock tonight in the girls' soccer playoffs for a chance to move on to Saturday. And Saturday is going to be quite the busy day in the area. Multiple quadruple headers of soccer quarterfinals. The class, I guess it's 3A in soccer. Those games are all going to be up in Balls Mills outside of Williamsport and Hepburnville. That's probably of biggest interest to people listening to this locally. Both Sealands Grove and Shikellamy boys and girls will be in action in a quadruple header. Most of the Class A schools will be out at Midwest on Saturday evening. EJ and Eastern Indiana and Southern Girls and Lime Mountain and Millville Girls will play at 4 and 6 o'clock, respectfully. Oh, I did kind of mess that up a little bit. Sealands Grove Girls, Milton Midwest Boys, and Sealands Grove Boys are all at Balls Mills. The Shikellamy Girls will be at Loyal Sock on Saturday in the quarterfinals, where they will face, I just had it here, man, I believe Athens. No, I'm sorry. The Milton Girls will play Sealands Grove at Balls Mills at 4 o'clock. Shik Girls Soccer will play Athens at 2 o'clock at Loyal Sock in the quarterfinals. Got all that? Because it appears that I don't. And then the... All right. Don't listen to me. We're going to start all over again. Sealands Grove Girls and Sealands Grove Boys are at Balls Mills at 4 and 6. The girls play Milton. The boys play Jersey Shore. Shikellamy Boys and Shikellamy Girls are both at Loyal Sock on Saturday. The Shik Girls play Athens at 2. The Shik Boys play play Athens at 4. So again, another busy next couple of days in local sports. Again, District 4 cross country is tomorrow at Bloomsburg University. They usually get started at about 9:30 in the morning. And then just obviously high school football on Friday, and then a plethora of soccer quarterfinals, boys on the boys and girls side, all over the place. Midwest is a host site. Loyal Sock, a host site. Balls Mills up in Williamsport, a host site. So plenty of chances to get out and see some great high school action. We will take a break here on the Steve Jones Show. We are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, the Sunbury Motor Company, and the Purdy Insurance Agency.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Steve, of course, at Quarterback Club for this first half hour. As the Nittany Lions prepare to play Wisconsin this weekend on Eagle 107. Kickoff is set for 7:30. Pregame starts at 6 o'clock. Also catch the Bucknell Bison. They travel to Washington, D.C. to face Georgetown. That gets on the air on News Radio 1070 at 1:30. Kickoff is at 2 for the Bison. We have Matt LePay in the next segment. He is the voice of Wisconsin football. He and Steve will get you ready for Saturday's game with the Badgers. We have our high school football roundtable tomorrow at 1:35. 2:05, we'll see Bob Nightingale join us to discuss Fernando Valenzuela's passing and the World Series, which first pitch is Friday night out in L.A., Yankees at the Dodgers. And then Audrey Snyder joins us in the 2:35 segment to get us prepped for Wisconsin and Penn State as well. Not sure what's Steve is traveling on Friday, so it'll be a tape show on Friday. So Thursday is your last chance to catch us live this week.
You're hanging on.
I'm hanging on.
Yes. You're hanging on. Not hanging in. You're hanging on.
I'm not quite.
I can tell by the deep breaths.
It's spacing out seconds, that's for sure.
That's good. That's good. My goodness. Yeah. So we got a lot of guests here today, right?
No, not today. Tomorrow's the busy day. Yeah.
Okay. Who do we have today? We have Matt today, right?
We have Matt LePay at 1:35.
The Leap Man.
And then Bob Nightingale at 2:05 on Fernando in the World Series, and Audrey Snyder at 2:35.
That's tomorrow, right?
That is tomorrow.
Okay, so Bob Nightingale. Okay, good, cool. Mucho cool. That sounds great. Fernando Valenzuela, 63 years old. It's unbelievable. I told you the Jack Culp story the other day. I know I did.
Correct.
Yeah, that was quite the deal.
We got to stop talking about old baseball players early in the week, just because.
I was just out there, so I knew he was not doing well.
Yeah.
So, well, I already knew he wasn't doing well.
Didn't we bring up Louis Tion about 2 days before he passed too?
Yeah, but I knew he wasn't doing well. So. But I also brought up the Louis Tion thing because, like, the game has changed so much.
Oh. I think Fernando threw a boatload of innings in 1981 as well.
He did, I know. You know, it's interesting because I'd heard a lot about Fernando Valenzuela in his rookie year, but the NBC used to have the Saturday game of the week, and I remember they were playing the Reds, and I specifically remember watching that game, and in watching that game, I wanted, because I had never seen him pitch before, I wanted to watch him pitch. And I was like, wow. Something else. He was quite the pitcher and quite the personality.
News Radio 1070 WKOK delivers everything you need to know as you start your workday with the Sunbury Motors News Hour. You'll get the latest world and national news with the CBS Morning News Roundup at 8. WKOK News follows with news from Harrisburg and the Susquehanna Valley. There's a detailed look at the AccuWeather forecast, plus sports and business, too. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. Yes, they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar, led by the two favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time to bring in one of the best of the business, and proud to say a good friend, and that is the play-by-play voice, the outstanding Matt LePay of Wisconsin. Matt, welcome. Great to have you back on the show.
Good to be on with you, Steve. How you doing, my friend?
Doing great, bud. Doing great. Looking forward to seeing you on Saturday. Three in a row for this team. What have you seen have been the common threads, Matt, between the three games that's allowed them to get this three-game streak going?
Well, one of the things, Steve, they've done is they've tightened up the running back rotation. Tawee Walker is getting more of a workload now. He's a transfer from Oklahoma, and he's been on a bit of a roll here, averaging better than 6 yards a carry over these last three ball games. Garyon Dupree, a true freshman out of Chicago, statistically it looks pretty modest, but he's someone with a pretty interesting and exciting skill set. He can catch ball out of the backfield in addition to being a really good ball carrier. But they've been able to shorten that up. I mean, there are games they're running five guys out there, and nobody was getting a ton of work. So the idea was to try to get somebody hot, and they've been able to do that with Tawee Walker. And I think in a very general sense, the offensive line is certainly playing pretty well now. Defensively, in a general sense, they seem to be playing faster. They talked about having more speed, a lot of that via the transfer portal, and maybe just other guys who are gaining experience. But maybe they're just getting a better understanding now, a year and a half in, with the new coaching staff, of what they're doing on that side of the ball. Now, a qualifier is, they play teams that are struggling here too, with Purdue going to Rutgers and then Northwestern. So they also know they're playing well, but everything ramps up starting Saturday night. The rest of their regular season schedule is a pretty interesting group of games coming up.
Man, what's interesting to me, when I watch Tawee Walker play, he seems to get through small areas, like just creases, and makes plays. Is that fair?
Yeah, he's a powerful runner too. I mean, he's not long by any stretch. Somebody made the crack during fall camp. It's like you watch him run, and he might need seven strides to go 5 yards. He is the anti long strider.
Yeah,
but he runs with force, and he can deliver a blow. He's just fine doing that. He can make you miss a little bit too, but if it's one on one and there's no place to go, he will dish it out. And I think part of the feeling is that those 3 and 4 yard runs of the first quarter can become longer when you get into the third and the fourth quarter. He's playing like a very hungry guy right now. Senior year, started in junior college, been at Oklahoma, and he already has more carries at Wisconsin now than he had all of last season with the Sooners.
Another element, too, is that's a common thread in this three-game streak. I don't think they've been behind a single second, have they?
No, they haven't. They've gotten off to fast starts. It took a little bit. I wouldn't call it a fast start against Northwestern, but certainly against Rutgers and against Purdue, they were able to get the early jump. And of these last three games, Steve, I think, and I know Rutgers is you know, it's been a struggle for them here lately. But you know who they are. They're going to run the ball. Kyle Monongai is going to do his thing. You know, one of the better running backs in all of college football. And Wisconsin had been pretty leaky against the run. It's no great secret. But in the guts of that game, you know, Monongai couldn't get going. So the run defense for Wisconsin has improved. Now, again, this week, it's a little different animal with you know, the Penn State offense. But they have been, you know, they've been playing really well. And the difference is in these last three games, they've won convincingly, which we haven't been able to say that about Wisconsin football, no matter the opponent, for a while. So I think it's safe to say there's some cautious optimism that these guys are starting to figure things out now and are ready to keep building and moving forward. But, you know, we've all figured out, this is becoming a little bit like the NFL, and maybe in a lot of ways, but it's a week-to-week kind of season. You can feel really great about yourself, and then everything turns on a dime the following Saturday.
No question. Tyler Van Dyke began the season as the quarterback. Then he got hurt on that sideline play against Alabama. Braden Locke, for the second straight year, has had to step in. What have you seen in his maturity as a player now compared to the player you saw last year?
Yeah, that's a key word, I think, Steve, maturity, because he will, I mean, you know, every game here, he might give the opponent a couple of shots for a pick. And if it happens, it doesn't fluster him. He will come back and do his thing. Now, I think the difference this year is that it is his job. Tyler Van Dyke is not going to come back this season, where last year he was keeping the chair warm until Tanner Mordecai was able to come back. But even last year, you know, he led his team on a really impressive comeback win, a fourth quarter rally down in Champaign against Illinois. But he is somebody who they marvel at how smart he is. You know, you would hope all quarterbacks are, but this guy has a real grasp of their offense, can get them into the right play. His arm strength is not the same as Tyler Van Dyke's. Van Dyke has a better fastball, to use the baseball comparison. But Braden can make the deep throws. This team has become a little bit more explosive over the last, maybe not so much in the Northwestern game, but the two prior to that, they were getting some chunk plays that had been lacking. Even in the USC game, especially in the first half of that game, they were showing an ability to get some big hits. As you know, those 15-play, 80-yard drives are great, but expecting that over and over again, that's a big ask. And they've been able to get some more 10, 20, 30, 40-yard type of plays. That's really, I think, with their ability in the passing game, even though it was modest in the Northwestern game, I think opponents are starting to respect Wisconsin's ability to throw it, and that, in turn, can open up some things on the ground.
Well, that's one of the big differences, is when Longo came in, and Luke wanted to go with the air raid offense, and you know, what has that meant transition-wise for Wisconsin? What has it also meant transition-wise, personnel-wise, to get into this offense?
Yeah, I think my broadcast partner is Mark Tauscher, who was an offensive lineman here at Wisconsin and is in the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And I was asking him this question last year, and he said, you know, what they're asking these offensive linemen to do is a lot different than what they had been asked to do previously. So there was an adjustment period there. You know, when you hear the term air raid, too, I think, you know, there are a lot of different versions of it. Here, it doesn't mean throwing it 50 times a game. Right. Now, with the late Mike Leach, it probably did, right? But here, it's more about balance. You know, Phil Longo stresses that. He's had, you know, at North Carolina, previous stops, he has had offenses that have been more balanced, and that's what they're trying to achieve here, and they're getting there. You know, their whole idea, they say, it's attack grass, get the ball to a playmaker in space and let him go to work. Mm-hmm. And it's taken some time. Will Pauling is certainly establishing himself. A redshirt freshman from Hawaii named Tretch Kekahuna has. They're getting there, Steve. I'm not saying they're a finished product by any stretch of the imagination, but they're showing some really good signs in recent weeks.
I've got to ask you about Waller on defense, because whenever anybody brings up to me Wisconsin, he's actually the first player I talk about. When you watch him play safety spot, punt returner, whatever, what are we seeing with him?
you're seeing a guy who just, you know, just a ball player. You know, kind of like when I see Tyler Warren, I'm thinking, this guy's a ball player. Like, whatever you want him to do, he'll do it. I mean, Hunter Woehler, in a way, is has some similarities defensively. You know, they move him around. You'll see him close to the line of scrimmage at times. He loves it. You know, he just throws his body all over the place. I mean, he doesn't have a pick yet this season. He helped create one in the Rutgers game, but, you know, where the ball is, there's a pretty good chance you're going to see Hunter Woehler. He is kind of that, you know, people here love him. He's a Wisconsin guy. Jim Leonard raved about him when they were recruiting him because in high school they asked him to do so many different things, a sky-high football IQ and someone who's really turned into a terrific college player and a perfect fit for Wisconsin. What that'll translate to in the NFL, I don't know that. But here, he's been one of those guys that has just meant the world. And not just what he does on the field. I mean, he's not the world's most vocal guy, Steve, but if he has to say something, he will. Last year, this team, Northwestern, came in here and beat the brakes off of Wisconsin. And Woehler and Tanner Mordecai, at the time the quarterback, had very pointed comments where they were basically calling themselves out. And that's something that, you know, we hadn't really heard from Hunter Woehler before. But you spend 20 seconds with them, and you can understand how much the game means to him and how much it means to him to be playing at the University of Wisconsin.
The two linebackers, Chaney and Thomas, it seems like a lot funnels in their direction. What do they bring to the table that impresses you?
Yeah, a ton of experience in both cases. Jaheim Thomas is a transfer, started his career at Cincinnati and then was at Arkansas last year and was among the leading tacklers in the SEC. And certainly size, a little bit more linked with him than with Jake. But Jake's another guy who's been a Badger throughout his career. He's from Cape Coral, Florida, but he's the guy who he wears the green dot. You'll maybe get a chuckle out of this. I asked him about that last week. I said, well, they're showing great trust in you, your ability being a leader, you know, being a captain. How has that gone? And he said, well, to be honest, we don't really use it very much. But they get guys lined up. So he's honest as well as a good football player, too. But Chaney's one of those guys that they talked about in the offseason. You know, I mentioned Woehler as a leader, Chaney the same thing, from the weight room, all of the workouts, spring ball. He's a guy that the newer players turned – one of the guys that the newer players will go to because they both have meant a ton to this team.
All right. The three block kicks, this is something where I've looked at over and over again because it's so often a special teams play can do something. What has allowed this team to be so precise in blocking kicks?
Well, that's been more of a lately thing. You know, in the Rutgers game, it was maybe a low kick. Last week, Ben Barton was able to reject a field goal. They're not afraid to use starters on special teams. I don't think that's unique. But Ben Barton is a starting defensive lineman. Ricardo Hallman blocked a field goal in the Rutgers game. I think there might have been a low snap there, but he still made the play. It was a play to be made. He played it. And he made the play. He's a starting cornerback for this team. I would tell you they put great emphasis on it. I don't think I've ever heard of a coach who says, "Oh, now we don't." But they do. You know, in the course of a week, they'll spend a fair amount of time each day on special teams work. So they're running a little bit of a hot streak in that regard now, and it certainly served them well in the Northwestern game. They got a. One of the players got his hand on a punt as well. So I think Fickell uses the word confidence a lot, and I would guess that Coach Franklin does the same thing there. Once you start to see some results with all that work you put in, you hope you could build on that. You know, a lot of bad things are contagious. They're hoping some of this good stuff that they've had is contagious, and they can build off of that. But their special teams units are on a bit of a heater right now, and we'll see if that can continue.
Look, Wisconsin's had, you know, we hear the word culture all the time. It's one of those things where you see it, you know it. Okay, it's like you can say the word, but when you see, you know, with Barry Alvarez, they had it. With Brett Bielema, they had it. With Paul Chryst, they had it. I think I'm accurate in saying all that. All right, now yes. Luke Fickell comes in. What have you seen with him and how he's tried to build a Wisconsin culture based on Wisconsin's tradition, but also how he feels about the game?
Yeah, it's really interesting, Steve. And those guys you mentioned before, you talk about different personalities to be sure. You know, Barry and Brett, there's a lot of similarities there, but there are definite differences. Paul Chryst is much different than those two guys. Now Luke Fickell comes in, and no matter, we talked about the air raid, but I remember asking Fickell this really early in his time here before they played the first game, and it's still about the line of scrimmage. It's about being a more physical team, which, if those who know about Luke Fickell's background, would come as zero surprise. He was a nose guard at Ohio State.
Yep.
You know, one of his closest friends is Mike Vrabel. Kind of thrives on physicality, right? Probably to this day, in working with the Cleveland Browns, and certainly as a head coach in the NFL, he was like that. So there is an intensity with Luke. I think, you know, the messaging itself in some ways is probably different, or not probably, it is different from Paul, but I think the core values are very, very similar. You know, they want to be the team that wins the trenches. They want to be the team that can wear you down. So in that regard, it hasn't changed a lot. I think the players now, and those who came with Fickell from Cincinnati to Wisconsin, they know the drill. And, you know, the strength coach came from Cincinnati, Brady Collins. So there is an intensity with which they do things that might be a little bit different. But the core values, I think, you know, no matter the play style, the core values are not much different at all from Paul Chryst, Brett, Barry, so on and so forth.
Madison certainly has had a big week, including yesterday, because the presidential campaign came there yesterday. So obviously the town's been hopping over that. Leading into this game, what's the town and what's the vibe been like in town about the game itself?
Yeah, you know, Steve, it's been a while since Wisconsin has won a game on this kind of a stage. So I would tell you that there is some excitement building. But I think around here there's a hesitancy to it as well. Wisconsin, I think so far in this decade, has beaten ranked opponents twice.
Yeah.
Purdue and Iowa 3 years ago. And Purdue did not finish in the top 25. Mm-hmm. Iowa did. So people here are waiting for that, if you want to call it, signature moment. They had a couple chances earlier with Alabama, and then, you know, we fought with USC, although it's been a little different story here lately for the Trojans, but you got Penn State this weekend, middle of November, Oregon rolls in here. I mean, top five opponents. So there will be an excitement. It's a night game. The weather's going to be pretty good, maybe a little chill in the air, but certainly pretty good weather for Madison, Wisconsin for late October. It's approaching Halloween weekend. I'll let you use your imagination from there on what you might see in here on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's already racing. So the new Big Ten, you know, obviously you went out to the coast and you did the USC game just like I did, you know, a couple weeks ago. Just what's your thought? You know, it's something we all have to live with, but, you know, what's your thought on 1 through 18? I mean, the new Big Ten.
Yeah, I'm trying to get used to it. I mean, selfishly, it was a real kick to go to the L.A. Coliseum. I'm sure you felt the same way, just the history of that stadium.
Sure.
I'd never been there for a game before, so I really wanted to, you know, get there extra early and take it in. At the same time, I missed the Pac-12. You know, being of a certain age, you grew up with the Big Ten looking a certain way, and the postseason looking a certain way, and now it's changed. So I'm trying to embrace it all, but it's a different world. I'm still wrapping my mind, Steve, around the fact that the Rose Bowl is a quarterfinal game now.
I know. It's, it's, and it's forever going to be a quarterfinal game.
Yeah, it is. But I guess at the end of it, you know, the game itself is extremely popular. I mean, the NFL is in its own galaxy, but after that, college football is next in line.
Yeah.
People love the games. It's, you know, Sunday through Friday could be a hot mess, but Saturdays are still wildly entertaining. And I think, you know, with a 12-team playoff, you're allowed a hiccup, maybe two. But I still think the games themselves, when you see the unranked teams beating the ranked, you know, when Vanderbilt beats Alabama and so on and so forth, there's still a certain charm to the college game that you don't get in the NFL. But I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't. I think it was a Ryan McGee at ESPN a couple of years ago said, I love Saturday football. I love Sunday football. I don't need Saturday football to look like Sunday football.
Right.
But we're kind of heading in that direction. So, you know, you embrace it. I think the games themselves are still fun. It's still fun getting to know these players. But a lot of this, I think we're all trying to get used to. The younger crowd, this is what you're going to know. And you're good with it. You know what you know. And for us, it might be a little bit more of a process getting adjusted to an 18-team conference.
You're the best, man. It's always great talking with you. They can't wait to see you on Saturday, Matt.
Likewise, man. Look forward to seeing you and Jack. Safe travels. We'll see you Saturday.
All right, brother. Thanks.
Take care.
The outstanding Matt LePay, the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin football and basketball. This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
October is SUV month. SUV month at Sunbury Motors Ford.
Sun, ride with the sun. Sunbury.
From 32 new Ford Escapes and 25 new Ford Bronco Sports, both discounted $4,000. And they're on sale starting at just $28,965. Choose from 19 of the totally redesigned 2025 Ford Explorer that comfortably seats 7 passengers. And they're reduced $5,000 and priced from only $39,230. Sunbury Motors, located in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly owned by the Mertz family for 109 years. Hurry, sale ends October 31st.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.